Here's Andy Udman.
The whole idea that high cholesterol and saturated fat cause heart disease is, first of all, it's completely wrong. It's total bunkum. They do not cause heart disease. And, you know, I can say without reservation that what we're seeing in our children today, the extreme health problems from allergies, asthma, to all of the learning disabilities and behavior problems, this is the direct result of the cholesterol myth. The idea that we should be avoiding cholesterol and saturated fat.
Wow. That's unbelievable, folks. Wrap your mind around what you just heard. You know, our health officials, top to bottom, if they heard that, they'd gag. They'd faint. They'd shake their fist because it is so contrary to everything we hear about good health. In fact, I think those two little clips are so revolutionary that I'm going to ask Ryan to play them again. In just a moment, we're going to meet a superstar in the battle to get us to eat healthier so we get healthier. Let's make it really, really simple. Her name is Sally Fallon, and much of her case is wrapped up in those two amazing clips you just heard. Let's hear them
again. The whole idea that high cholesterol and saturated fat cause heart disease is, first of all, it's completely wrong. It's total bunkum. They do not cause heart disease. And, you know, I can say without reservation that what we're seeing in our children today, the extreme health problems from allergies, asthma, to all of the learning disabilities and behavior problems, this is the direct result of the cholesterol myth, the idea that we should be avoiding cholesterol and saturated fat.
You know, I could just play those clips and then just invite your calls, and I'm sure we could do an hour. That's how revolutionary those thoughts are. I am going to open up the phone line, 643-1290, and just ask you for a quick reaction just to those two clips. High cholesterol doesn't cause heart disease, and a lot of the health problems that our kids have, including allergies and asthma, are related to our cholesterol phobia. Do you believe that, or do you think Sally's crazy? Because if you listen to Health Canada, if you listen to anybody who you hear from these days who professes to be a health expert, they would say Sally's crazy. Somebody's crazy here, folks. We're joined this morning by Pam Colleen, as we are every Thursday morning. Who's crazy here, Pam?
Well,
somebody's crazy.
You know, people are crazy not to be able to connect the dots here. Since we've been reducing our consumption of animal fat, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before. If we just look at food history, we can learn a lot. Before World War II, we didn't have these food phobias, Andy. We didn't have cholesterol phobia. We didn't have fat phobia. And we were much healthier before World War II than we are today.
Right now, somebody is saying, tell me, who is Sally Fallon?
Sally Fallon is the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation out of Washington, D.C., and she's the author of one of the most important books ever written on nutrition in terms of recipes. It's called Nourishing Traditions, but she's got a new book out now, Andy, and it's called The Nourishing Traditions Book of Baby and Child Care, and that one was just released this year. So I'm thrilled to have Sally on the line this morning. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Pam. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you fine, as long as you snuggle with that, you canoodle with that microphone, and we'll be fine.
I'm snuggling with the computer here.
There we go. Sally, you had an earlier book, which Pam didn't mention, something along the line of Eat Fat, Lose Fat. I love that title.
Oh, right. That was a book, actually it's a diet book, it's a weight loss book, but it turned out to have quite a loyal audience because it does a very good job of explaining what's wrong with this cholesterol theory of heart disease and what the consequences are.
Well, people are hearing that title, Eat Fat, Lose Fat. They already think you're crazy. Are you certifiable, Sally, or are you or is everybody else crazy?
Well, it's a crazy world, that's for sure. And we feel like a lone voice crying in the wilderness. This cholesterol theory of heart disease was fostered by the very industry that had the most to gain from people being afraid of animal fat, saturated animal fat, and that was the edible oil industry, the industrial seed oils, either the liquid oils or the hardened oils by the process of partial hydrogenation. These took over, it's been about a 100-year process, but these have taken over And the number one change in the Western diet that has caused so many health problems is the substitution of vegetable oils for animal fat.
But Sally, here in Canada, we have millions of acres of canola growing and soy and corn. I mean, how much effort is it going to take at a grassroots level to educate the masses about the dangers of consuming these foods?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Pam, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I do know that these oils, saturated fats are needed for fertility. They're, and the vitamins that you get in animal fats are needed for fertility, for getting pregnant, for, you know, sexual hormones, to produce sex hormones, and to have healthy babies. And after two or three generations on these vegetable oils, you get infertility, or you get children who just can't survive until adulthood. It's very tragic, but this is nature's way, and this is what happens. I call it the natural selection of the wise, the people who are wise enough to eat the foods of their ancestors to understand that there's nothing wrong with these foods, that they're absolutely necessary for our health. They are the ones who are going to survive. So it will be a slow process, but I do believe eventually we will get back to a situation where everyone is eating these natural fats, starting with butter. Butter is an extremely healthy food, and if the butter comes from cows eating grass and out in the sunlight, it will be a source of these very important vitamins that we need for fertility and for healthy children.
What about eggs? What about McDonald's now ditching the yolk, convinced that the yolks aren't healthy?
The yolk is the most important part of the egg. It is the part that has the fat. It has all these fat-soluble vitamins if the chickens are outside. And just going back to this, all of this great fertile prairies being used for producing unhealthy vegetable oils, really these prairies should be used for animals. They should be used for dairy cows and beef cows and then chickens and poultry. That not only produces healthy food for us, but it returns the fertility to the soil.
Well, did you consider as a title, you know, when you went with the title, Eat Fat, Lose Fat, you know, more fat, better sex? I mean, that's what you're saying.
You know, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story about this. A friend of mine who's a nutritionist, we see more and more young men, I mean men in their 20s with erectile dysfunction who can't get it up there. And, you know, that's a terrible, terrible thing for a young man.
Well, absolutely. If the soldier won't salute, you expect that at 75, but not at 35.
But this is what I see all the time. Yeah, I see.
Not at 20. Anyway, she had a young man come in, and he was devastated and so embarrassed. And she said, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to eat a stick or two of butter a day. I want you to eat yolks from, you know, 5 to 10 eggs per day and all the meat fat that you can eat, and come back in a month and tell me how you are. That's the only thing she told him. And he came back in a month with a huge grin on his face.
Yeah, he didn't need Viagra or Cialis, right?
Yeah, I didn't need Viagra. He said, I'm fine. I'm having a great time.
And then she told him.
She said, go. She said, you don't need to see me anymore. Just don't be, you know, misled. Don't be pulled in by this message with animal fats are bad.
Sally, I can totally confirm that story because I see this all the time with my students. As soon as they start eating more animal fat, if they have or had erectile dysfunction, it goes away. If they have low libido, it improves. I mean, it's important to get those animal fats in there so that you have the correct fuels for your hormones.
I just thought of a brilliant line for the dairy industry. Mm-hmm. If you have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, stop eating so much butter. I mean, that's what you're saying. I mean, that the animal fats dramatically improve a lot of things, but including your sex life.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's pretty important when you're young. So
we have actually the teachers here in London did a survey, and they said over a quarter of the children today here in London, over a quarter of the students have some sort of mental disorder, according to the local teachers.
Okay. And the brain, you know, the brain is an organ. It needs good nutrition, just like every other organ in the body. And these kids have starving brains. And our brains need, first and foremost, they need cholesterol and saturated fat to function properly. And where do we get cholesterol? The main source of cholesterol is animal fat. These kids need butter. They need meat fat. Their parents need to be cooking in lard. They just need lots of fat. They need whole milk. They need full fat cheese. Good, nourishing foods. They need things like a natural, you know, artisan salami with all the good fat.
Sally, let me ask you this tough question.
Okay.
We are a society. I remember a few years ago when I heard that Bill Gates could use his smartphone to adjust as he's driving home from the office, not only to adjust the volume of water going into his bathtub, but also the temperature. And I'm thinking, boy, we are a pretty darn smart society. How can a society that is that smart be so stupid on the issue, so badly misled on the issue of basic things like cholesterol and what foods are good for us?
Yeah, I mean, people have are just not using their common sense. But in a way, it's been a deliberate policy. It started in 1913 with the publication of a book called The Story of Crisco, in which the authors of this book said that if women cooked in Crisco and used Crisco instead of lard, they were more modern, they were more up-to-date, their houses were cleaner, their houses smelled better, and their children would grow up with better characters if they used Crisco instead of lard. And I think that's kind of funny in a way, because what it really means is their children wouldn't be as interested in sex. And, you know, to some people that means they have a better character, I guess. But so that's how it started. And by the way, the south of the United States and the Jewish population was the first target. The Jewish women were told they could use Crisco, and they didn't have to worry about, you know, their kosher cooking and mixing animal fats with, mixing dairy fats with meat and so forth. And so these were the first targets, but the whole population is the target today.
Sally, you say that basically that this is a part of a genocide almost, that essentially...
It is genocide. We just mustn't miss words. Something in the diet that is causing infertility is genocide, and I like to compare it to the lead pipes in the Roman times. I don't know if they knew or they didn't know that these lead pipes were slowly poisoning the people and causing infertility, but that's what happened. Now we see that very clearly, and, you know, a couple hundred years from now, looking back, we'll see this very clearly, that it is these vegetable oils being used in place of animal fats that are slowly causing the decline of our civilization.
What a comparison. That's, you know, the lead pipes in the Roman times, today's version is the vegetable oil.
The low-fat diet, yeah. And there's another food that you expose as well, Sally, and that is the increased consumption of soy. It's an ingredient in a lot of foods as well.
Yeah, well, soy is a toxic plant. This has been known for decades. The FDA has a poisonous plant database with about 250 entries for soy. So one part of the FDA knows that soy is toxic, and another part of the FDA is promoting it as a food.
Okay. Sally, in the interest of time, and we have just a few moments left, let me ask you, what are the, let's make it four. What are the four biggest health problems we have right now, and then we'll look at the solution. What are the four biggest health issues in your mind that we are facing right now in North America, which are absolutely causing exploding budgets in health care, and we're just losing the battle on so many fronts? What are the big issues?
Well, I think number one is the crisis with our children, and so many children with learning disorders and behavior disorders whose minds are just not functioning. I think that's number one, and it's the tragic fallout of this low-fat and anti-saturated fat message. I think cancer, first of all, it's the number one disease killer of children. It's more and more common, and these vegetable oils are carcinogenic. There is no question that they cause cancer. They make people more susceptible to cancer when they come in contact with carcinogens. So those two... there's so many others. Lung problems. We're seeing so many lung problems today, asthma and lung cancer and emphysema. The lungs cannot function without saturated fats. The lung surfactants are composed of a phospholipid that needs two saturated fatty acids to work properly. And if you're not getting enough saturated fats in your diet, the lungs are not going to work.
What about the role of sugar in all of this?
Yeah, sugar, you know, there's no question that refined sweeteners, sugar, and high fructose corn syrup are extremely detrimental. But you know what? We had, and I'm not making any apologies for them, but we had these things in quite high amounts in the diet before the Second World War, and we didn't see all of these problems that we're seeing today. Again, I'm not making apologies for them. They need to get out of the diet, but I think the number one problem is the vegetable oils.
Wow. Okay, now the solutions, Sally.
The solutions are the foods of our ancestors. We need to go back to, first of all, number one, use butter. Use butter and not all these spreads and margarines. And remember, two things I say is make your own salad dressing. Use real olive oil. Make your own salad dressing. There's over 30 salad dressing recipes in my book, Nourishing Traditions, and they're very easy to make. And just doing those two things will solve a lot of problems for your health. The third thing I'd say is you need to get the sources of vitamin A and D back into your diet. So that means you need to eat some organ meats. You need to eat liver. That could be liverwurst. It could be chicken liver pate that you make yourself, which is absolutely delicious. Taking cod liver oil, real cod liver oil, is something we need to go back to doing. Up to the Second World War, every child growing up in America got cod liver oil, and for the reason that it gave them these all-important vitamins A and B.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Where can people go to get all the information they want to know about Sally Fallon?
Go to westonaprice.org, WestonAPrice.org. That is the nonprofit that we run, the Nutrition Education Foundation. A lot of information there about butter and about cod liver oil. And then my own books are at newtrendspublishing.com, newtrendspublishing.com.
And Sally's conference is coming up in Atlanta this November, November 7th to the 11th. It's a fantastic conference. All the who's who of nutrition will be there. It's called Wise Traditions, and again, it's in Atlanta, November 7th to the 11th. I'd highly recommend that if you can attend this conference, it's fabulous.
And thank you for mentioning that, Pam. And you can get the information on our conference at westonaprice.org. And I guarantee you, you will have a wonderful time at this conference. The food is delicious. And we have everything from very complicated science to cooking demonstrations for wherever you're at, whatever you need to get onto a healthy diet.
Sally, can't thank you enough for your time this morning. Keep doing the good work. Hopefully, they'll start listening, and you'll change the health of a generation, because goodness knows.
One person at a time. Yes, thank you.
Okay, terrific.
Thanks, Sally.
Okay, we're going to break for the 10:30 news. When we come back, we have a number of health issues, including cover story McLean Magazine.
Oh, this notion of the gluten-free diet. We have to talk about that.
Okay,
Andy.
We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. I still can't believe it when I walk into McDonald's and I see that you have the option now not to have the yolk, because somehow the yolk is poison when the yolk is absolutely the best part of the egg and the most nutritious. But now we have something even crazier.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And if anybody out there has seen the movie Soylent Green, let's platform off of that movie, because that movie actually foreshadowed a lot of what's going on in our food industry today. Soylent Green is a movie that stars Charlton Heston. It came out around 1972, 1973. And in that futuristic movie at the time, if you wanted to get real food, if you wanted to get meat, eggs, dairy products, right, you had to be among the super elite, the super wealthy. Right. So if you wanted those foods, you had to get them on the black market, because the masses were being fed synthetic foods. They were being fed these food bars manufactured by a company named Soylent. Soy standing for soy, lent standing for lentil. And essentially, Soylent Green was a new bar on the market. They'd had other bars that masses were being fed, and everybody had to line up to get these food bars. But to get real food was unobtainable for the masses. And this is essentially what's going on. That's the direction we're going in today, because plant-based foods are easier to produce, easier to ship, and have better shelf life than animal foods. So now we have this insult that's coming out in the marketplace today, and it's being funded by Bill Gates. And this,
The Bill Gates.
And it's a synthetic egg. It's an egg that has been manufactured from plants, and it started to be on sale at a Whole Foods in the United States recently.
Wait a minute. Synthetic egg? What is a synth? You can synthesize an egg?
It's made from plants. It's not a real egg.
And they're saying, oh, you know, animals, the founder of this company is saying growing animals is a nuisance, that it's a broken industry. So therefore, we have to have these new fangled eggs on the marketplace that are not even eggs. It's the same idea as this new meat that they've been manufacturing in a lab. It's not real meat. It's meat that's been produced in a lab, because they're saying, well, animals are difficult to raise and they're costly and they're not very profitable to sell in terms of their products. So, you know, we're seeing this synthetic food come more and more on the marketplace. It's been rising since World War II.
Surely we're not stupid enough to start eating both synthetic meat and synthetic eggs.
Well, you know, as long as the marketing is good, Andy, people believe the marketing. I mean, you have all of these food bars on the marketplace today that have all these bogus health claims on them. People buy these food bars thinking, believing that they're healthy. You have the health check. We've talked about this on the show. You know, that health check that we see in the marketplace today? This is just a self-endorsement. This is companies paying to have that endorsement.
Well, the CBC's product. Marketplace it made that very clear a few years ago. But let me just read you a little background, folks, on this artificial egg, which just makes you shake your head. This is what is out there. We want to take animals out of the equation, said Joss Tetrick, the firm's founder. The food industry is begging for innovation, especially where animals are involved. It's a broken industry. Artificial egg made from plants, backed by Bill Gates, set to revolutionize cooking, goes on sale at Whole Foods. A radical artificial egg backed by PayPal billionaire Peter Thiel and Bill Gates goes on sale in U.S. supermarkets for the first time today. Made from plants, it can replace eggs in everything from cakes to mayonnaise without a chicken ever coming close to the production.
We're going from
process.
The sublime to the ridiculous here. I mean, it's just insane what they're doing to our food supply. And sadly, people are going to believe claims. They're going to believe the industry-funded marketing that will transpire because of these products.
But there are some very smart and some very well-heeled people behind this. Bill Gates and the PayPal billionaire, which doesn't make it right, but it just makes it a force to be reckoned with.
There are a lot of people like that behind the cigarette industry as well, Andy. I mean, the cigarette industry was the platform, was the blueprint for fooling consumers into buying something that they didn't need and for buying something that actually was harmful for their bodies. And so they use a lot of the tactics that the cigarette industry used to sell us things that, you know, not just things that we don't need, but are potentially harmful to us.
Wow. So that's a heads up on that one for folks. Not only can you now get eggs without the yolk at McDonald's, I don't know how sales are on that. I've been watching for a story to see whether people are foolish.
I don't think your listeners are buying in.
your listeners, or the ones that listen on Thursday morning, know better than that. So now we're going from eggs with no yolk to an artificial egg, which is an egg that is not an egg. I mean, it's a blatant lie.
Yeah, let's just put the animals outside where they belong, right? The factory farms aren't going to go away overnight, Andy. I know this. You know this. I mean, we would have to be pretty naive to think that we could see the end of factory farming in the near future.
Don't say that too loud. We have a plowing match going on up in Mitchell, and our signal is very strong through that area, so we have a lot of farmers listening.
Well, we have to do something. It's consumers that are going to drive this change. They're going to want the more sustainable forms of agriculture. We're seeing an increase in demand in that kind of agriculture. So I think that consumers are going to solve this problem
okay.
in the end.
Let's go to another big health issue. We're going to cover three or four in this half hour, folks. And if you want to join in or you have questions, whatever, someone quickly sends an email. Can you give the name of Sally's book that you were mentioning? The first one was the first one I mentioned was Eat Fat, Lose Fat.
Her cookbook is Nourishing Traditions. And the new book that she's written is called The Nourishing Traditions Book of Baby and Childcare. And actually, I have her books on my books page on my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com. And you can just see the books tab there.
Okay. Let's go to, and here's another example, and this is wonderful to see. The mainstream media is starting to pay attention to some of these issues. The cover story in Maclean's magazine.
Oh, it's about the gluten-free craze. And unfortunately, the story doesn't quite hone in on the real issues here. The real issue is that if you are going to eat grain, it should be soaked and fermented. Our ancestors knew through wisdom that if you're going to eat a grain, it has to be essentially pre-digested prior to consumption, because these grains have what are known as anti-nutrients in them. Things that are rather, let's just say, irritating to the digestive system. So if you are going to eat grain, it should be in the form of a traditional sourdough bread, where the grain has all these anti-nutrients somewhat dealt with. And so really, the notion of going gluten-free is another marketing gimmick. I'm not kidding you, Andy. There are even shampoos out there that say gluten-free. So it's just, I'm not kidding.
You wouldn't want to get gluten in your hair now, would you?
It's just a marketing thing. The tragedy is a lot of the people who are trying to be gluten-free, number one, don't know that the real problem is that the grain hasn't been properly prepared. Number two, what they're doing is potentially going out and instead of eating wheat, they're eating things like quinoa or millet or buckwheat, which are not, you know, these are not bad products, but the problem is that they're still eating too much carbohydrate in the diet. So they go from eating a high carbohydrate diet to maintaining a high carbohydrate diet, when the answer is actually to go gluten-free and be far better to gravitate to things like meat
and eggs and chicken to start increasing the consumption of those foods instead.
So what does the McLean's article basically say?
Well, they're saying that gluten-free is a big trend. They're trying to say that you should still continue eating grains, but they're not identifying the fact that grains should be properly prepared. So, I don't have any problem with people eating grains. It's just as long as they don't overconsume them, and they must also do something in terms of preparing them.
Does this gluten-free craze, and Angie, we're going to get to your question in just a moment, this gluten-free craze, is it now feeding on itself? It gets so much attention. You're seeing gluten-free stores popping up everywhere, so if people have a health issue now, they go, oh, I better dump.
Right. Even Bill Davis, when we had him on the show, he's the author of Wheat Belly, he was a harsh critic of this gluten-free craze as well, because it's really just not getting to the root cause of the problem. It's
what
a distraction.
Why is gluten causing such problems?
Well, because grain, like I said, should be pre-digested. It needs to have some care and attention paid to it before we put it through our lips. I mean, it needs to be pre-digested. And we have a problem. We've been displacing meat and replacing it with wheat for decades now, and it's obviously not helping us in terms of our health.
Let's go to the phones. Angie has a question. Angie, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. In the movie Soylent Green, they were actually grinding human flesh into the bars, and that's what was so shocking about that movie. My question was, they are putting L-cysteine into white flour products, and that is harvested from human hair. I wanted Pam to see if Pam could comment on that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of mysterious products in processed foods in general. White flour, we also have to be careful of because of the bromine is brominated, right?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, bromine, what is it going to do? It's going to interfere with our body's uptake of iodine. So
right.
There's all sorts of problems with the processed foods out there. There's a lot of people going back to the roots and mm-hmm. using traditional food preparation techniques. So some people are buying certified organic grains, heirloom grains. They're grinding their grains at home. So they're buying their own mills.
Yeah.
So there's ways potentially to work around that. But,
yeah.
You know,
I think it's important for people to know that there are human products in our food. And it's just a matter of being informed. It takes a lot of research, but you can get to understanding it sometimes of what's in there and how, mm-hmm. we really don't know how it's really going to affect us.
Angie, yeah. I really appreciate the call. Before we let you go, I have to ask you the question. Have you started using the gluten-free shampoo, and how is it?
No. I'm with Pam. I try to feed my family very traditionally, all the fats. I buy butter and lard and all that. I don't do the fancy gluten-free stuff.
Angie, you know, I don't know if you heard all of our interview with Sally Fallon in the first half hour, but literally, if people understood what she's saying,
mm-hmm.
looked at the evidence,
that's right,
and started changing their eating habits, Angie, it would change the world.
Absolutely, and she's so correct in saying that our children's brains are starved. It's so true, because when they are on a traditional diet, you see how they have creativity and energy, and they're happier. And you don't have to deal with all these behavioral problems. And it's very sad. It's very sad because the solution for most people is to go to the doctor and put their kids on antidepressants or other drugs, which is terrible.
And it's not a food item, but I just want to ask you, because I'm always surveying people on questions of the day. Have you mm-hmm. seen the new Canadian Tire commercial, Let's All Get Out and Play for Canada? Watch for it. It addresses this whole issue of kids on the couch and all their electronic devices.
But
it does fit into this larger package of kids today aren't raised the way they used to be. They aren't fed what they should be fed, and they're spending they're getting way too much screen time.
The huge pharmaceutical industry, too, they have scared people. We no longer trust our maternal instincts or, you know, we are afraid to make choices for ourselves. It's like we need an expert to tell us how to live and what to eat. And I think that that's wrong. We all have the wisdom within us, and we just have to look within. That's all.
Angie, great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ina. Hi, Ina.
Hi. I want to comment about proper foods, and I find that if you eat, just go back to what mom and dad put on the table, I think we'll be better off health-wise. I found that when I was much younger, when I ate better under the supervision of my parents, I didn't have the mental health problems as I do now when I went to the synthetic foods.
I think Pam might change that a little and say go back to what Grandpa and Grandma used to eat,
yes,
more than
sure.
Mom and Dad. Because I know a lot of families today, and some of them are our friends, who feed their kids crap. I mean, there's just no other word. It's just it's such a low priority in their lives, and we're learning more and more. You are literally what you eat, what you put in your mouth. It's interesting. Kevin O'Leary did a comment. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday. He's saying, exercise, folks, yeah, it's great. Exercise is great, and I highly recommend it. But it's what you put in your mouth. Just back off on that and eat the right foods, and you'll lose the weight, and you'll be a much healthier person.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Ina, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, think back in the 1800s, Andy, when most of us lived on a farm. We produced our own pork, our own meat, our own farm fresh raw dairy, egg, pastured eggs. You know, these were the staples of our diet in the 1800s. And we were much, much healthier back then than we are today in terms of the chronic illness and mental illness and so on.
I just love that phrase. We are sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever. I see the evidence every day, and it's so incredibly sad. Frank, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Like, I often, bring a lunch into work, and I'm making myself wraps and trying to stay away from processed food. But what wrap would I be wanting to use? Like,
they have sprouted grain wraps that you can get at the health food store, so at least the grain, has been somehow pre-digested. So you can actually find those types of products in the health food stores.
So it's not like, right now I'm just like, it's called like the Dempsey Ancient Grains. Is that a good one, or is that?
Well, if it's been soaked and fermented to any extent, then you should be fine. I'm not familiar with that product. And it sounds like you're probably not eating that much grain in your diet anyway, but you're asking. I mean, a sandwich is a very handy meal to bring to school or to work. So I don't want to deprive anybody of eating a sandwich, but if you are eating a sandwich or a wrap, there are products on the marketplace where the grain has been prepared properly. So you can look for these sprouted grain products or these traditional sourdough breads as well.
Frank, I appreciate it. Can you do me one favor, Pam?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a word that I like better than pre-digested? I'm thinking of, you know, the bird that goes and eats the worms and toss it up, or animals that do that. Give me another word for pre-digested.
Well, soaked and fermented.
Think of
sauerkraut, you know, where the cabbage has been soaked and fermented, so you can more easily digest the
it
cabbage,
just
right?
Gives me an image of somebody else chewing my food for me. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, there's one other issue that I want to address where we want to give you a heads up. There is a huge, huge crisis happening out there, and that is with our bees. Our bees are dying. Pam was at a meeting at City Hall last night. I want to talk about that briefly. It's going to lead to some special programming we're going to do in the weeks ahead. Our bees are dying, folks, and we need to figure out why, and we need to figure it out fast. We'll be back with that in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290, CJBK.
Okay, one more issue, and this is a big one, folks. This one affects all of us. Our bees are dying. You have seen the mainstream media now catching on to this issue. Farmers in the area are in a panic. Our bees are dying on a major scale, not just here in southwestern Ontario, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, what's the issue? You were at a meeting at City Hall last night.
City Hall with an ag committee meeting that was on last night, and people got up and presented some of the facts about what's happening with regards to the disappearance of the honeybees. I was rather disturbed that at the beginning of the meeting, the chairman of the meeting asked if anybody had any conflicts of interest, and nobody piped up and said that they had any conflicts of interest, Andy. It was a little perplexing because about an hour into the talk, one of the members of the committee piped up and basically admitted that he had a conflict of interest. He's a farmer and he grows these crops, these neonicotinoid treated canola and soy.
Because that's the primary suspect, right? What is the primary suspect that's killing these bees?
The seed treatment process, right? And so what's happening is next week we're going to do a show on this subject. And I really want to get to the bottom of this ag committee as well. Who are these people that are allowed to go on the committee and have clear conflicts of interest? And they're trying to distract us us. This fellow was putting out all sorts of red herrings. He wouldn't admit in the beginning of the meeting that he had a conflict of interest to begin with. And anyway, next week I want to get to the bottom of this. And so we're going to do a show about the disappearance of the honeybees. I want to get to the bottom of the who this ag committee really is.
Who appointed them? Who
were they appointed working? Them? Because it seemed to me that there were two industry
shills. The meeting
shills.
Was at City
yeah.
Hall?
Yeah.
So it's on behalf of City Hall? Is mm-hmm. the City Hall has appointed
That's
this
right.
committee?
That's right. And so this committee is basically looking at the information, and now they want to take it to the city councilors and come up with some sort of resolution. So next week, there's a play coming up in London on the 28th of the month, and it's called To Be or Not to Be.
In B-E-E?
B-E-E. And there's an 11-year-old girl who is starring in that play, and I asked her to come on the show next week, and she wants to make an appeal to the city on behalf of children today, because this is about their future, Andy. And also, I'll be inviting somebody else from the committee.
An 11-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. who that's amazing.
Yeah, well, she's very concerned, like all children should be, about the future of our food supply.
Well, I'm delighted you mentioned the 11-year-old girl who's concerned about the future, as opposed to the 11-year-old boy I saw on CTV News, the national news, a couple nights ago, who was kissing his new copy of Grand Theft Auto,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get to that another day. Anyway, anything else, Pam?
They have some classes coming up in October. So throughout the month of October, I'm teaching weeknights, and I'm going to teach a class on digestive wellness, and I'm also teaching a class on human sexuality and why we're seeing so many problems with erectile dysfunction, low libido, infertility, birth defects in children, and so on. So I'm teaching these two classes at the Central Library, and if you want to find out the dates and the times, you can go to my website, which is just pamkilleen.com.
And a reminder to our listeners that if you want to go back to any of the shows we've done, get any information on any of the shows we've done, where can
just
they
on my website, if you go to the multimedia pages. So it's just pamkilleen.com, and you'll see I have a couple of multimedia pages where I archive these shows.
Terrific. Thanks, Pam. 11 o'clock news coming up next. After the news, I want to tell you about a story that, unless I misunderstood,